You doing good? I'm good too. Thanks for asking. It's a great day to be in church today, isn't it? How great are the band this morning? Why don't we thank them for their ministry to us today? So good. I'm biased because I love worship. Obviously, I'm like the worship pastor here. And it is so great to see all of you here this morning. My name's Jess. If we haven't met yet, I would love to meet you. And today I'm going to be finishing off our Fierce series. We've been doing this for a couple of months. This is the end of a two-month-long journey through this word, fierce. Next month, we're going to be moving on to something different. But today, this is what we're focusing on. So I'm just going to jump straight into it. Why don't we pray together as we do that? God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this space to just be with you today and to just worship you together. We thank you, God, for everything that's brought us here today. And we ask, Jesus, that just in this moment that you would take away any distractions, take away anything that would take us away from what you've got for us today. We thank you for the word that you've given this morning, and I pray, God, that it will just draw us closer to you today. We pray this together in your name. Amen. Amen. So imagine with me for a moment that you're in your favorite place. Maybe you'd like to close your eyes. Maybe that's a bit cathartic for you. Let's just go there for a second. Perhaps it is your favorite chair. Perhaps it's your favorite cafe. Maybe it's your favorite running trail if you're into that sort of thing. Maybe it's church. That's where I'm going right now. Maybe it's your favorite holiday destination. Maybe you are surrounded by all of your favorite people, or maybe you are blissfully alone. There's no one else there. Ah, so peaceful. This is the place where you feel most connected to yourself and the place where you feel most connected to God as well. If you've got your eyes closed, you can open them now. How relaxed do you feel right now? Isn't it wonderful on a long weekend to be in our fake favorite places together? So good. Maybe as we were doing that, you couldn't think of a place like this. Maybe this place doesn't exist in your world. Perhaps the idea of being in a secluded place with no one else around you really terrifies you. Or perhaps being with a whole bunch of people terrifies you. And maybe you can't think of the last time that you slowed down enough to actually be in your favorite place. Maybe it just doesn't exist for you. But it's such a beautiful place where we're connected with ourselves and with God. I've just finished a leadership course called Arrow Leadership. It's this great thing that I got to go over to Melbourne for. Leaders from all over Australia, young leaders, it's an emerging leaders program, would come together in Melbourne for a week at a time to just learn about leadership. It was so great, got to meet some really cool people. And during this week, well, at least in the first one, they were called residentials. The first one was all about us as the leader. So they sort of said, we don't care about what you do. We just care about you as a person, which I thought was really cool. And part of this experience in this first week was a silence and solitude day. I can feel some of you tensing up as I say this. And it was kind of funny too because the place where we were staying is like this big all-inclusive kind of place. You'd stay in the dorm rooms and really nice grounds and stuff, and we had to all be alone together on this day. And it was pretty funny. And what we had to do is we weren't allowed to speak to anyone for a whole day. We weren't allowed to eat. And at the start of the day, we had to hand in all of our electronic devices. So it was like, the only people you can be connected to is yourself and with God for this whole day. Some of you feel like this is the worst day ever. But actually, for me, it was actually a really great gift. It was such a funny thing because they started the week being like, just letting you guys know this is coming. This is going to be happening because we started on the Monday. This silence day was on the Thursday. It was like, just letting you know this is coming on Thursday. And then on Tuesday, it was like, just letting you know there's two more sleeps till this is coming. Like, just really getting us ready, you know. Just letting you know, tomorrow is the day that you can't eat and that you can't speak to anybody. And it was like, oh, okay, and I didn't know how I would go. But actually, it was the greatest thing ever. I loved it. And I got to say, at the start of the day, I really struggled. If you know me, you know that I love food. So skipping breakfast was really painful. And actually, like, the lack of coffee, goodness me. Weren't allowed to have coffee or anything. We just have water all day. That was it. And for the first couple of hours, I kind of just fluffed about a little bit. I was like, well, I don't really know what I'm doing. I had a nap. They told us not to, but hey, whatever. I was tired. I just lay in the sun and had a nap. It was real nice. Really good. And it was such a strange thing because it kind of felt like I was just making up what to do. I was like, I guess I'll go here and do this thing now. I don't know. I didn't know what to do. And it wasn't until like the fifth hour when I'm starting to get real hungry, the lack of caffeine headache is setting in. And God began to speak. Or rather, I had the space to listen. I had the space to listen. Before that, I felt like my brain was just going forever and ever and ever. But as I sat there, I sat on a bench, and I'm a journaler. And the minute that I felt that God started to speak, I just wrote like 14 pages in 20 minutes. I'm just writing heaps of stuff down. It was just like, I really want to get down what God is saying to me right now and what he's dealing with within me. As I wrote, I just began to feel the tension that I felt just melt off me. That's the right word for it. It just melted off. It just went. It wasn't there anymore. And I left that experience feeling really energized and excited about life. It was fantastic, and I felt lighter than I had in a long time. And that wouldn't have happened if I didn't have this experience. If I hadn't been warned, okay, this is coming. This is going to happen. You need to do this. I wouldn't have had that experience. And I wonder if you've had an experience like this, where you've purposely taken some time out of your life to just think and to journal and to pray, if that's your thing. To just be with yourself and with God. And maybe you've left that experience feeling like better than ever before. Maybe this is something that you think, that's kind of nice, but I'm not sure that I'm ever going to get something like this. Isn't it true that today we live in a distracted world? It has never been harder to have a conversation with someone, right? You have a conversation with someone, and I'm an offender of this too, and they're just sitting on their phones. They're looking like, yeah, just distracted by what's going on their phones. I have an Apple Watch now. I get my texts and my calls on this. So I actually have to work to not be distracted, right? And don't ask any specific people in my world because I don't think I'm very good at that sometimes. They'll tell you lies. It's all lies. But isn't it true that we live in a distracted world, right? It's never been harder to have a conversation with someone. We're always distracted. And if we get some space and some free time in our incredibly busy and full schedules, we fill it with stuff that distracts us. I am struck by the amount of conversations I have that start with, "Sir, you watching anything good on Netflix right now? Found any good TV shows and movies? What are you watching?" Right? Can anyone relate to this? Yes, I'm expecting some feedback as we do this. We're all in this together, everybody. So good. But these things, TV shows, movies, social media, games that we play on our phones, they all serve to distract us from what's going on. And so there's a whole industry devoted. They should call it the distraction industry, not the entertainment industry, right? And what they do is they kind of transport us somewhere else, anywhere else but here, anywhere else but right here where I am. And we live in a distracted world, a world that wants to escape from the reality that we're living in. Because it would be too painful to actually look at our lives and actually look and just be, right? And it's affecting the way that we engage with each other, and it's affecting the way that we engage with God. And for how distracted we are, actually our schedules have never been so full. They have never been so full of stuff or so complicated, right? It's no wonder that when we get some space, we want to just zone out for a while. We want to just be distracted. And for how connected we are, we're starving for real and authentic connection. Now, the purpose of this message isn't to make us feel bad about our social media habits or anything like that, but it's actually just to take a moment to look at our lives and think, we'll just tell ourselves the truth. Tell ourselves the truth about our lives and what is going on in them, and just take stock for a minute and have a think about, where does God fit into this? Does he fit into our lives? Do we want to find ourselves in 5, 10, 20 years' time just having been distracted by everything and all of a sudden we're 20 years older and we don't know what's happening? Do we want to flee from our reality that much? Elijah was someone who felt the need to flee from his reality. He's this guy from the Bible called by God to turn the people of Israel around. And if you've got your Bibles, we're going to jump into 1 Kings 19 this morning. It's going to be on the screen as well. See, the people of Israel had gone so far away from God, further than they had ever been, furthest away that they had ever been. And Elijah is dropped into the story at a time when all that they're doing is serving the gods, small g, and doing whatever they want to do. And it's a really big job, right? And after a while, Elijah just has enough. He says, I've had enough. And in a moment of weakness, he just runs away. He's like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm just going to run away. So he finds a place in the middle of nowhere underneath a broom tree in a cave to go and die. That's what he wants to do. He's like, I've had enough. I just want to go. I'd rather be dead than doing this. So he runs away. He's given up. He needs some of that alone time we've been talking about. So 1 Kings 19. But the Lord said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah replied, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. Next one. Go and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied again, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down their altars and killed every one of their prophets. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too, he repeats himself, word for word. Then the Lord told him, go back the same way you came. Travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram. Then anoint Jehu, grandson of Nimshi, to be king of Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from the town of Abel-Meholah, to replace you as my prophet. Anyone who escapes from Hazael will be killed by Jehu, and those who escape Jehu will be killed by Elisha. Yet I will preserve 7,000 others in Israel who have never bowed down to Baal or kissed him. That's the gods we've been talking about. See, in that moment, everything changes for Elijah. Everything changes. The moment that God speaks, it changes everything for Elijah. You'll notice in this story that Elijah repeats himself. He says the exact same thing after he hears the voice of God, after God asks him, what are you doing here? What's happening? See, perhaps the windstorm and the earthquake and the fire represent how Elijah is feeling. He's in turmoil. He's like, you've sent me to do this thing, God, but it's not working out the way that I thought it would. It's not happening the way that I think it would. I've been faithful to you, but these people aren't listening to me. He feels like nothing is working, that they're being stubborn and they're not responding to him. They're not responding to him who is called of God. And he's doubting himself and wondering, where is God in all this? Where is God gone? And what God says to Elijah is significant. He says, go out and stand before me on the mountain. Go out and stand before me on the mountain. He's actually telling Elijah to position himself so that he can witness the presence of God. This is the same thing that God did with Moses back in Exodus with the golden calf incident. He gets him to position himself so that he can hear and feel the presence of God. And Elijah might have expected a big manifestation of God. You can imagine how crazy and loud the windstorm and the earthquake and the fire were. But there is God, his voice in the gentle whisper. In the silence, God makes Elijah aware of his presence. Maybe it's not what Elijah wanted to hear, right? Maybe we can have those last verses back on the screen. In his whisper, God actually challenges Elijah, doesn't he? He doesn't make it easy for him. He says that there's work to be done still. He's forcing Elijah to face up to his reality. He doesn't let him sit in his pain and his misery and the fact that he wants to die. No. He makes him face up to it. And he doesn't just tell him what he wants to hear, which I imagine might have been something like, they want to kill you, mate. Don't worry, I'll kill them. So totally fine. Bible times, crazy, right? But no. What God is saying, he says that your work will continue. I haven't forgotten those faithful 7,000 people who you seem to have forgotten about, actually. So you shouldn't forget about them. Don't forget about those people. I will bring justice in my way, as we see in here. God's going to bring justice in his way, but you just have to do these couple of things. What happens for Elijah is that everything changes. His whole perspective shifts. He no longer wishes to die. He's encouraged by the presence of God with him. His perspective shifts because he hears the voice of God and his calling is renewed. After this, he goes off and he does the things and he continues to be God's prophet. But in that moment, when God speaks, everything changes. And that's for us today. See, when God speaks, everything changes. And you know what the crazy part of this is? Is that God wants to speak to us. That God wants us to hear his voice. Like Elijah, he wants us to position ourselves to be in a place where we can experience the presence of God and hear his voice. Right? Isn't that crazy? Because when God speaks and we've positioned ourselves to hear him, everything changes. Everything changes. I think Jesus was a little bit better than me at this. Of course he was. He was Jesus. In Luke 5:16, it says, but Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. Another translation says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. To lonely places. He understood how important it was for himself to be connected with God, being God himself. He wanted to be connected with God. He knew that the only time that he was going to get any kind of time to be with God would be in the wilderness. If you think about it, Jesus was a really busy guy, right? He was followed by people everywhere he went. He was like 24/7 preaching and teaching people how to follow him and just showing them the way. And I imagine any time that he would have needed to himself, he would have had to take because people just followed him everywhere he went. He might be the only guy who's ever had a 24/7 job. He has to get away and just be with God. And he understood how important that was for him because he knows that apart from God, he could do nothing. That's what the scriptures tell us. He needed time out. He needed to give himself space. He knew how easy it would be to just be busy doing stuff, finding stuff to do, people to heal, whatever it was. But he also saw part of his calling as just being intimately connected with God, taking time out, having space to just be with God. And just like Jesus, just like Elijah, just like me on my solitude day, God wants us to hear his voice. He wants us to hear his voice. And I want to suggest this morning that we need to create spaces where we can listen for his voice. Because God speaks. Are we listening? I wonder whether you have a situation in your life where you're confused. Perhaps it's just your entire life. I don't know. Maybe it is. Where you're feeling confused. Where, like Elijah, you want to run away. Where nothing feels the way that it should. Is any of this ringing a bell for you? Where everything feels difficult. Where you feel like you're just running up against obstacle after obstacle after obstacle. And I wonder whether every time you get space where you could be alone, where you could spend the time with God, where you could just be with yourself and connected with you and with God, and go to your wilderness place, you do something else, because that space feels really uncomfortable, feels really difficult. Because to go to the quiet place, to go to that quiet place is scary and it is painful. It's probably not very good news for us this morning. On that day when I had my silence and alone time, it was painful, man. God dealt with some stuff in my life. He's like, right, here we go. Let's deal with this stuff. Pastor Mark talked a few weeks ago about the discipline of God, about how God disciplines us because he loves us. Because he deals with the painful stuff in our lives because he loves us enough not to leave us where we are. He wants us to grow big time. And that's what it was like for me on that day. And afterwards, my soul was lighter than it had ever been. But I'm not going to stand here and tell you that it wasn't uncomfortable, that it wasn't painful. But afterwards, that's where it all happened. That was the most amazing thing ever. See, God's love for us is fierce, right? And I want to talk a little bit about this word fierce, because we've been talking about it for a while. And the way that we're meaning it is to say that something that's fierce deals uncompromisingly with the truth. It deals entirely with the truth. It gets down past the facade and into the truth of what is happening. And God's love for us is fierce. It is powerful. It is relentless. It is uncompromisingly concerned with the truth, with the truth of what's going on in our lives. And he is so concerned with connecting authentically with you and with me. But it's not forceful. You know, the word fierce can bring up pictures of fire and earthquakes and windstorms and things like that. But God's love is not fierceful. In fact, I want to say this morning that God's fierce love can be found in his whisper, can be found in the quiet place, can be found in the whisper of God. Notice that God chose to show himself to Elijah in the silence, in the stillness. That he really wanted Elijah to hear what he had to say. He wanted Elijah to have enough space to hear what the God of the creator of the universe had to say to him. You can imagine what it might have felt like, what it might have sounded like. The calm after the storm, as it were. And everything changes. Everything changes in that moment. See, because when God speaks, everything changes. And why is that? It's because our perspective shifts. It's because God gives us grace to deal with something in a whole different way, to look at our lives in a whole different way. Our perspective shifts. And we can breathe again. We're renewed. And here's the thing about God, if you haven't already picked this up, is that he doesn't just tell us what we want to hear. He tells us the truth. Because God loves us enough to tell us the truth. God wants to be authentically connected with us, and he wants to know us. He wants to know you and be known by you. He wants to know the parts of ourselves that we're distracting ourselves from. He wants to go into those uncomfortable places and speak into them and change them and flip your perspective around. See, God loves us unconditionally. Maybe this isn't news to you, but maybe it's a reminder this morning that God loves you unconditionally. That even when you want to run away, God loves you. Isn't that good news? That even when I don't like myself, God still loves me. That even when I do run away, God still wants to be connected with me. God still wants me to hear his voice. And isn't it crazy that the creator of the universe wants us to hear what he has to say about our lives? That he wants to be that involved in our lives, that he's got stuff to say and he wants us to hear it. He wants us to know the voice of God. Yeah, it says in the scriptures that my sheep know my name. That's us, Jesus talking. They know my name and they follow me. They know my voice and they follow me. They know what I sound like. So let me ask you something this morning. What will it take for you to position yourself so that you can hear the voice of God? What will it take in your life? Will it take running away like Elijah? Will it take a day of forced solitude like me? Maybe you're more disciplined like Jesus. And I want to ask us this morning, do you want to hear from God? Do you want to hear from God? Do you want to know his voice? And if so, how are you positioning yourself to hear from him? How are you doing that? Are you finding space? Are you going to the quiet place with him so that you can hear his voice? Isn't it true that we can have been following God for years and years and years and feel like we've never heard his voice? Isn't that true? And isn't it also true that maybe we've never given ourselves space to do so? And yet we know that when God speaks, everything changes. It's kind of like when you're doing exercise, right? You know it's good for you, and you know that something's going to change when you do it, but it's so hard to actually get out the door and go for that run, right? It's the same thing. We know that when God speaks, everything changes. So that's what I'm asking us this morning. Do you want to hear from God? And if you do, how are you positioning yourself to hear from him? Where is your wilderness? Where is your lonely place? Where is that beautiful place that we thought about at the start? Is that your place where you connect with God? And if it doesn't exist, will you find a place? Because it seems to me that God speaks in the stillness. Because when we are still, when we're in the quiet place, we have enough space in our brains to hear from him. Because God speaks. We just need to listen. And I just want to talk for a moment about that uncomfortable place. The uncomfortable place whenever you feel that you have time and you have space to go and to be with God, but because it feels uncomfortable, you don't do it. I want to say that where you feel resistance, where you feel that uncomfortable feeling, that resistance, that is your invitation to step in. That's your invitation to jump in, to go in further with God. And like I said before, I'm not going to pretend like it's comfortable, that it's not painful or anything like that. But if you choose to go there, if you give yourself space to hear from God, he will speak and everything will change. Because when God speaks, everything changes. Everything in our lives change. So do you want to hear from him? And if so, are you making space? Are you going to your wilderness place? That's my challenge to us this morning, that God really wants to speak to you. I find it very encouraging that the God of the universe wants me to hear what he has to say about my life, me, little Jess, standing here. He wants you to hear what he has to say about your life. And let me encourage you that if you can go to that place, if you can go into the uncomfortable place, your perspective will shift. God will change you, because when God speaks, everything changes. Why don't we pray together? Thank you, God, that when you speak, everything changes. Thank you for your presence in our lives, God. Thank you for what you want to say about our lives, Father. I pray for each of us, Father, that you will give us the space to hear from you this week. God, that if we don't have a place where we feel like we can hear from you, Father, that you will provide that place for us. Give us ideas. Show us where that place is. Show us where that wilderness place is, God. Thank you that you want to be so involved in our lives, Father, that you want to speak to us and you want us to be able to hear you. That is good news. And we are so grateful for your presence in our lives, God. Thank you, God, for this space right now. God, would you speak to us? We choose to create some space just right now as we sing again for a minute and ask God that you will speak to us. Amen. Why don't you stand with us? The team are going to sing Be Still again. And I encourage you in this moment to just focus on the words. Any distractions that are going on in your head, just let go of them. Father, we ask that you give us grace to just be right here in this moment and to know that we don't need to be afraid, that you are here. As we sing, God, as we worship you, you are here. Would you speak to us? Give us the space to hear you, Father.
Be afraid, you
Have a great week, everyone.